MRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Today is the deadline to register to vote in November's election in Virginia. Citing conspiracy theories, two Waynesboro election officials say they may not certify election results. And one cannabis company plans its build-out in the WMRA area, but others want to challenge their selection as the sole provider. This is the WMRA Daily for Tuesday, October 15th. The deadline to register to vote or update your existing record in Virginia is today. The Department of Elections says that even if voters miss today's deadline, they can still register to vote, but we'll have to vote on Election Day with a provisional ballot. Visit elections.virginia.gov to check your registration status. If you vote in Waynesboro, will it count? The leaders of Waynesboro's electoral board say they will not certify next month's election results in the city without substantial changes to Virginia policy. The Daily Progress reports that Chairman Curtis G. Lilly II and Vice Chairman Scott Mayers, the two top members of the three-member board, have filed a lawsuit arguing that the use of voting machines to tabulate results is unconstitutional. The allegations made in the lawsuit parrot many of the false conspiracy theories floated in conservative circles during the past two national elections, namely that voting machines connected to the internet can be hacked or manipulated by outside agents. Voting machines in Virginia are not connected to the internet, and Republican Governor Glenn Youngkin has regularly defended the state's election integrity, including the use of voting machines. The lawsuit alleges that without a hand count or a review of the voting machines by electoral board members, the election would violate the Constitution. With less than a month to go until Election Day, Virginia's governor is facing a federal lawsuit over removing alleged non-citizens from the voter rolls. Purging the voter rolls has a long and complicated history in Virginia. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
Back in the 1890s, election after election was contested with allegations of voter fraud and stuffing the ballot box. That led to a Jim Crow-era constitution. Jatia Wrighton at Virginia Commonwealth University says it was the largest voter purge in Virginia history.
Jim Crow laws were really, really effective in purging the voting rolls, and it was overwhelmingly Black people who were affected by these laws. And so what's going on now in Virginia, you know, people automatically sort of assume this like, oh, well, we don't want illegal voters to vote. And that could be part of who is affected. But you are absolutely going to overwhelmingly see Black people being affected. And I don't think that's a coincidence.
The voter purge that happened 120 years ago offers lessons for today, says Wes Bellamy at Virginia State University.
This is the same place that, through acts like voter purging, took away about one third of the voting population. So for me, it brings back a lot of immediate thoughts in regards to historical mistreatment, specifically for Black folk.
Last week, officials at the Department of Justice brought a lawsuit against the governor for trying to cancel voter registration within 90 days of the election, which they say places qualified voters in jeopardy of being removed from the rolls. Glenn Youngkin calls the lawsuit a desperate attempt to attack the legitimacy of elections in the Commonwealth. Michael Pope.
That Department of Justice lawsuit is getting national reaction from Republicans. Jad Khalil with VPM News has more.
Speaker of the House Mike Johnson posted on X Friday, quote, "Democrats want non-American citizens voting in American elections." The DOJ's lawsuit takes issue more so with the timing of voter purges rather than the reason for the removals. DOJ lawyers wrote the so-called quiet period is to give people removed by mistake time to correct the error. The National Voter Registration Act says you can't remove voters systematically in the 90 days before the election. In a memo obtained by VPM News, counselor to the governor Richard Cullen said it was not systematic, but driven by individuals. The removal process starts when a person checks a box saying they are non-citizen at the DMV, whether by mistake or on purpose. State Delegate Sia Price says the Privileges and Elections Committee was told the maintenance was up to state and federal code in September, but the Fed should look into it if that's not the case.
I think we should let the court system play out. I do know that it feels very under the gun because the election is coming up, but we have three branches of government for a reason.
The deadline to register to vote is today.
Jad Khalil reporting. While one cannabis company plans its build out in our broadcast region, others want to challenge their licensure. Where does all of this leave medical marijuana patients? WMRA's Randy B. Hagee reports.
When the Virginia Cannabis Control Authority chose a medical marijuana provider for a large portion of the state last month, they unleashed the winning company to build cultivation, distilling, and retail facilities, and those that were not chosen to mount a legal challenge to the selection process. After 41 applicants were whittled down to 33 finalists, the authority chose the provider for Health Service Area 1 by random lottery. Ayr Wellness is the parent company that won. They operate nearly 100 dispensaries across 8 states.
I have been involved with the Virginia medical market since its conception. With other operators, I'm very familiar of what the patients are looking for.
George DiNardo, Ayr's chief operating officer, came to the company after several years with Columbia Care, according to LinkedIn. That's now known as the Cannabis Company, which operates dispensaries around Richmond. Ayr Virginia's application listed an undeveloped property in Clearbrook, Frederick County, as the possible site for their headquarters.
We're looking at all options right now. Obviously, you know, we got to work with the local governments on zoning, but we also look for access to highways, easy transportation for the patients to get to either our co-located facility or one of our satellite facilities.
So the Clearbrook site is not set in stone. DiNardo said they're looking at properties zoned for light industrial use.
There's a lot of things that go into these decisions to make sure that we are able to get zoned correctly and then build out as quickly as possible. So making sure that we have enough power, we don't have to upgrade transformers, things like that.
In the meantime, some of the companies that were not chosen plan to challenge the authority on how they made their decision by lottery.
The situation was botched. The wrong company won, and we need to kind of cushion that blow of having all out-of-state companies and let some Virginia companies into the mix to balance out this medical monopoly, as a lot of people call it.
Tanner Johnson is the CEO of Pure Shenandoah, which produces CBD products in Rockingham County. An attorney for both his company and Blue Ridge Medical announced their intentions at the authority's last board meeting. They were two of the only applicants based in Virginia.
If you care about your community and patients and you're actually from the area, that's an intangible that's hard to put a number on, right? And we believe that it would have had a tremendous effect on our ability to serve the market compared to a company where this is their 9th license and, you know, they just think this is another spot to make some money more than anything.
Johnson said they don't know yet which court they'll do this through. DiNardo said it won't delay Ayr's plans, although they don't have a set timeline for opening to the public.
I haven't seen a selection process that hasn't been challenged in court, you know, across the country. We feel fortunate that we were selected, and we look forward to serving the patients in Virginia.
An odd quirk of this process is that it allowed one company to apply 21 times by creating separate LLCs with different names. All 21 subsidiaries of TheraTrue made it to the final round, meaning they accounted for almost two-thirds of the finalists and still didn't win. With an $18,000 application fee on each one, TheraTrue paid the authority $378,000 to try and stack the odds in their favor. TheraTrue, which has a dispensary in Cleveland, Ohio, did not respond to multiple interview requests. Regardless of which company ends up building dispensaries from Winchester to Charlottesville, marijuana advocates say it's long overdue. This region has gone without medical marijuana because the original pharmaceutical processor lost their license and then tied up that decision in court for 3 years.
For Virginia patients, this process has taken far too long, and these multiple lawsuits, while they may have business interests behind them, are really harming patients. They need access, they need convenient access, and they need it now.
J.M. Padini is the executive director of Virginia Normal, which stands for the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. They said most patients seek out medical marijuana to treat anxiety, pain, and insomnia.
Virginia's medical cannabis program is really operating under an outdated model. This was adopted by the Virginia General Assembly some years ago, and it involves limited licensure, a limited number of patient access points. And that is a real flaw in the state's program.
Ultimately, an expansion of the entire medical market is what Pure Shenandoah is hoping for, too. That would require new legislation.
which would just add a few more licenses in each HSA. Recreational so far behind that we just need to keep making some progress there because patients and consumers in Virginia just need it.
While Governor Glenn Youngkin nixed a recreational retail market earlier this year, he has signed some legislation favoring marijuana patients, protecting public employees from being fired for using medical cannabis. For WMRE News, I'm Randy B. Hagee.
You can find links to more information and to a weekly Q&A session hosted by Virginia Normal at WMRA.org and on the app. A case on the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, or REGI, in Virginia could be decided this week. REGI is a multi-state carbon market aimed at reducing greenhouse gas emissions from power plants. Governor Youngkin ordered that Virginia leave the program last year. A group of conservation workers who received funding for energy efficiency upgrades from REGI sued the state, arguing that Youngkin overstepped his authority. The Roanoke Times reports that Judge Randall Lowe of Floyd County Circuit Court said he'd try to rule by Wednesday but did not want to rush the decision. The Virginia 529 Savings Plan has rebranded its signature education savings program, reflecting its expanded mission that now goes beyond saving money for college. The plan will now be called Invest 529. During the past decade, the program added a plan for people with disabilities as well as a retirement plan for people working in the private sector. The organization handles more than $2 billion. You can learn more about the group's expanded mission and all its programs at CommonwealthSavers.com. Full disclosure, Invest 529 underwrites programming on WMRA. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy your Tuesday.